tell me, why is it that so many people today, and it's getting worse, it's increasing, why is it that so many people have decided not to go to their church service? I mean, you can talk about it, you can think about it, you can gossip about it all you want, but it would seem evident, even apparent, that the great falling away is well underway. And you know what? We are living in the last days. The title I've given my message today is, well, I don't want to scare you away, but I think you should listen to it anyway. It's called Gloom and Doom. Gloom and Doom. Now, if there's one thing we people do not want to hear, it's gloom and doom, right? You see, gloom and doom are synonymous with death and destruction, right? Sure they are. All we want to hear and think about is life and prosperity. Life and prosperity, well, of course we do. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Unfortunately, the gloom and doom of the last days, which I must insert here, seem like that's what's happening right now, even as I speak. You look around the world, oh, listen to the news. Oh, anyway, the gloom and doom of the last days is not only inevitable, but it's already in progress. Already in progress? Look around. Take a good look around. Yes, of course, the sun still shines and sets. We have nighttime. We have daylight. Children still play in the park. And governments, they still reign with the same uncertainty. Even without God, even without God's dominion, it would seem that life still carries on day after day, just like before, and the day before that. Is this what the latter times are supposed to be like? Is it? Or are we to expect something more? Are we to expect something more? You know, it's important that we understand the times in which we are living right now. If we look in the book of 2 Timothy, well, we are warned right at the outset of the coming apostasy. This know also, says the Word of God, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Okay, 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy and read verses 2 to 5. Okay? Now, if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. I'll read them anyway. So listen carefully. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 to 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. Oh, well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? No, it sure doesn't. And look down at verse 12. 2 Timothy, verse 12, chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live... Let me start that again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Wow. Oh, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know why? Because the world as a whole is against Jesus Christ. They don't believe that He is the Savior of the world. They don't believe it. Now, if you're going to start off by saying, I don't believe it either, well, then you're not going to gain much ground from this message. Why don't you just listen to the rest of it and then decide for yourself after that, okay? That's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to hoodwink you. I'm not trying to make you believe something that isn't true. No. I have other things I could do besides write messages, preach messages, go to seniors' homes and preach wherever I'm needed or wanted. I mean, I have other things I could do, but this is what God wants me to do. Okay? How can we argue with verse 12? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, you will. How can we argue with that, really? We can't. We can't. It's all around us. You go out in the street and start talking about Jesus, people are going to look at you like you're silly, like you're missing a few coins in your brain, you know? It's all around us. At every turn, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Wow, that's not a pretty picture. Look at what's going on in America. Men and women are switching identities. No longer can the man be a man as he should without causing alarm at home and in the workplace. No. The male-female role has fallen asunder. It's falling away as both vie for dominion. They compete for dominion. One wants to be boss over the other. It used to be the woman's place is in the home, and then suddenly the woman's movement come up and said, oh, ho, ho, we're going to change that. But you know what? The Bible says, right from the mouth of God, the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. And when you go and take a man's job because you don't want to be a slave in your own home, which is not what you are intended to be anyway, then you're usurping authority over the man. We'll move along quickly. Men and women no longer have a defined role in society, nor do they want one. Genders are become obsolete. The breadwinner and the guy who once brought home the bacon, well, they're now without definition. It's every man and woman for themselves, while the children, of course, search for their identity. It's pretty bad, you know, when a child doesn't know what they are, who they are, but to see a picture of body parts which says you're this, you're that, or both, that's bad. That's not good. God is not pleased. It's not going to work. The Apostle Paul relates such times as I'm talking about now as leading up to the rapture of the church. In the end times, things shall wax worse and worse, and are they? You don't have to go very far to see that that's true. In government, in private lives, in business, things are waxing worse and worse. All leading up to the rapture of the church and the inevitable unveiling of the Antichrist. Oh, you know, the apostles, well, they warned the early church of a great departure from the truth and the eventual turning away from the faith. From the faith. Gloom and doom, that's the name of a message. That's what's coming our way. Are you prepared to deal with it? Oh, no, I know. Some of you are sitting there right now saying, I got enough gloom and doom, I don't need any more. Well, nor does anybody else. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I can't do anything about it, you say. Why not? Because nobody listens to me. Why not? I don't know. Maybe they don't think I'm important. Why not? It goes on and on and on and on. You see, for the populace to run smoothly under the Word of God, you need to have the government that is over the populace to run smoothly according to the Word of God. You got that? Gloom and doom is spreading like wildfire. All things are waxing worse and worse. Oh, I hate to say that. Even the elements no longer find rest. Sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? Oh, but you know, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne, and His invitation unto salvation is still open wide. Open for you, like it was open for me and for everybody else. It's there. It's there. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all," you got that? "All should come to repentance." Wow. God doesn't want us to perish, go to hell, to be damned forever. No, God doesn't want that. How can we tell who is saved and who's not today? The Bible says very simply, by their fruits. What? By their fruits. And of course, there are still those who believe you can lose your salvation. Oh, wow. Well, while we are still in 2 Peter, let's look at verses 21 and 22. Listen carefully. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You got that? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn away or to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This is not the loss of salvation, but instead having known about salvation and rejecting it. You can't lose something you never had. Never had. This is people who have heard about salvation and to reject it. It's not good. It's not good. You deny God, He'll deny you. They are like the dog that has turned to his own vomit again. Oh, it's disgusting, but it's what the Bible says. In our fast-paced and highly technological world today, knowing the way unto salvation for the soul is almost a given. You got that? Almost a given. What we have is people hearing the word of God, but not drinking it in. Not drinking it in. And they are worse than them that have never heard. Once you hear it and you ignore it, that's worse than those who haven't heard it. That's why God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants everybody to hear it. Not heard. People, salvation is of the Lord. To hear it and not grasp onto it is almost certain damnation. Yes, it is. Well, think of it as a man dying of thirst and being offered a canteen of water, but not drinking it immediately thereof. Is he not flirting with the life-saving gift and therefore placing himself in even greater danger? Well, of course. 'Tis the same with God's gift of salvation. He's given it to us. You're hearing it. You're tasting it. But if you don't absorb it into your heart and soul, it's not going to do you any good. As they say in the boonies, or in the boondocks, whatever, you snooze, you lose. To know and to not go is the substance of a foolish heart. To know and to not go is the substance of a foolish heart. As the hymn writer so aptly put it, and I totally agree, I thought I had plenty of time. You know what? None of us have plenty of time. We don't know when the end will come, when we'll be stricken down. We don't know when there'll be nothing there for us to believe anymore, because our hearts have been so darkened, God has given us over to a reprobate mind. We don't know when. Are you willing to gamble with your soul? To snooze, you snooze, you lose. To know and not to go is the substance of a foolish heart. As the hymn writer put it. Come on, people. Will you? Come on. Tomorrow is promised to no one. No one. And today is filled with uncertainty. I'm sure you find that out as you go through life every day. You plan to go somewhere and do something, and there are a lot of obstacles you meet along the way. They say, you can't go there. Sorry, it's been canceled. We're not doing that today. Or you run into other obstacles along the way. It's filled with uncertainty. Do you want certainty in some part of your life? Then give your life to Christ. And when you do that, be certain it is there for you. You cannot lose it. Your next breath could be your last. To the sluggard, salvation is their final recourse. To the wise, it's their immediate resource. Have you got that? To the sluggard, salvation is their final recourse. To the wise, it's their immediate resource. It's gloom and doom time, people. Only what's done for Christ will last. We've all heard the saying in reference to what we read in the various Bible versions making our rounds. If it's new, it's not true. If it's new, it's not true. In other words, God didn't give you two or three or more ways, separate ways to get to heaven. No, it's only one way. That's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the only way. So if it's new, it's not true. It's imperative that we who stand for the truth of God's word hold fast until the end. Oh, yes. We must not pick and choose that we might satisfy our own personal whims. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. People, if we alter it in any way, for whatever reason, then be assured you will not only suffer loss of rewards to cast at the Savior's feet, but more surely, no hope of ever being saved. In other words, no hope of even seeing the Savior's feet. No hope. The way into God's presence can only be fully recognized if there are persecutions and chastening for whom God loves. Guess what? He also chastens. Yes, He does. And without persecutions, then His divine help is without merit or cause. There's bound to be persecutions as you adjust from one lifestyle to another. Trials and testings will always precede us, for the world hated Him before it hated you. We have been totally cleansed and forgiven by the shed blood of our Redeemer. Have you got that? At the cross. Gloom and doom? Oh, that's putting it mildly. While witnessing to a former friend of mine, I say former not because I unfriended him, no, but because he unfriended me. Like I never existed. The Word of God says, choose you this day whom ye will serve, as not me. The rest of it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, trusting and believing in the Lord God also means serving the Lord God, doing His perfect will. No man can serve two masters. You gotta get that straight. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. It goes on all the time, all over the world, in every kind of business, it doesn't matter. You can't serve two masters. So what do? Whom do you love most? Well, the answer? Well, I'm going to let you do this on your own. I want you to go to Colossians. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 18. Will you do that for yourselves? After the end of the message, just go there. Mark that down. Colossians 1, 15 to 18. I'll repeat it again at the end. Then who has the preeminence? Who has the preeminence? Of course, God the Father. He has the preeminence. Not to say you cast your friends aside, no, but simply stated, put God first. Put Him first. However, do not cease to pray for your friends. For through prayer, all things are possible. And that's good news. Through prayer, all things are possible. You know, I have a golfing buddy. He's not a Christian, at least not yet. It took me, a couple of rounds of golf to let him know I was a born-again Christian. I came in easy because I didn't want to scare him off. And although he never commented, whenever I broke out with praise the Lord when I made a good golf shot, or God is good for giving me strength to compete, to even play, he seemed a bit uneasy over my dialogue. So at the end of the round, one day I called him aside at the risk of losing the only golfing buddy I had. I let him know about my belief in Jesus Christ. He listened. Never said a word. He just listened. As I clearly stated whom I served. Well, that was a while ago. And although he never speaks out against my Lord, he still hears my praises. He still hears my praises. Does he hear your praises? And you know what? I'm just going to keep on praying for my golfing buddy. But why? Because I'll always believe that God is not willing that any should perish. Have you got that? I'll always believe that. And that's what I tell him. But you know, he never takes the Lord's name in vain when we play golf again. He knows where I stand. And I made it very clear. How about your friends? Do they know where you stand? Have you made it clear to them that you serve the Master of the Universe? That you serve Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you make that clear to them? I pray you do. You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And this means that if we don't give up, then God won't give up. Have you got that? If we don't give up, He won't give up. That's a fact. I promise you. You know, God also says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you come to repentance yet? Are you ready to give your life over to Jesus Christ? Or have you already done it and you're still a little bit uncertain about things? Well, you know, what I found out was when I was uncertain about things way back in the beginning, was to get on my knees and pray to God. Help me, Lord, to understand things. Now I look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You can do the same thing. You see, God's not going to just throw you to the wolves, so to speak, and say, well, you either believe me or you don't, or get out of my face. No, He's not that kind of God. He's a loving God, a caring God. Who else would give their only son as propitiation for our sins, to be blasphemed, to be challenged the way He was on the cross at Calvary? I want to tell you that. For the record, God loves you as much as He loves me or anyone else, and He doesn't want you to go to hell. But the only way you're going to stay out of hell is if you repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the truth. Thank you for listening. In Jesus' name, amen.